For those of you who came in a little late, my name is Chris Furr. I'm the senior minister here. I want to welcome you again. Homily is meant to be kind of a junior sermon. And so I'm going to just lift up a word from Scripture tonight and try to keep this to junior if I can. I'm going to read from Leviticus, which nobody goes to without an agenda. Chapter 19, verse 33. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we pray for the gift of your Spirit, that it would open this word to us, that we would hear with clarity of mind, of spirit, of heart, and purpose this word that you bring forward through the centuries, across the miles, into this time and place in which we live. Help us to discern what it means for us and what it means to walk in the footsteps of the one who has made you known to us. Amen. It's really not hard to locate stories of displaced people in the Scripture. Almost from the very beginning, God is adopting people who do not have a home because they are living under a violent regime and they're living in a time and place where their lives are under constant threat. And so I suppose you could call the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, wandering about in the wilderness under Moses' leadership, the first migrant caravan. And here in the midst of their despair as they're wandering in the wilderness, constant despair and wondering, as we heard Gentile wondering, where God might be. In the midst of that, God was faithful. God showed up with provision, and God showed up with protection, and God showed up with leadership in the form of broken but capable people, and there were signs of God's presence along the way. And so this is a foundational story. This story of a displaced people and God's heart for this displaced people is a foundational story for those who follow any of the Abrahamic faiths. It shapes who we know God to be. And the God that we know from this foundational story is a God who is troubled when some of God's people are engaged in the business of denying the sacred worth of others of God's people. And so this story becomes a paradigm. It becomes a lens through which we understand what troubles the heart of God. Or to put it in a more affirmative way, it shapes how we understand what God desires for God's people in our life together. And just as easily as it is to find stories of displaced people in the Bible, it's also easy to find xenophobia in the Bible and the things that go with that xenophobia. There's a tendency to blame one culture's failings on those who do not belong. There's a general callousness toward other people's suffering. There's suspicion about what will happen if too many of them assimilate into our community, what will happen to our culture. But in the scripture that I read from Leviticus, the people of God are asked to remember their own status as strangers. Remember it. Do not forget it. Remember what it meant for you to live day to day under conditions that denied your humanity. Remember what it was like for you to raise your children under the threat of violence and in abject poverty. Remember what it was like when the color of your skin or the God you worship made you an outcast within the larger culture. They are asked to remember God's deliverance, but they are also asked to remain in touch with their own suffering. Stay in touch with what it was like. Stay in touch with the fragility of your own humanity. It's as if remembering God's deliverance will keep them in the proper relationship with God, but remembering their suffering will keep them in right relationship with other people. And so there are times like this when, times when this commandment is forgotten, just like all the other commandments are forgotten. So there come prophets like Nehemiah who are convinced that the only way to restore Israel is to evict all of the foreign wives that Israelite men have married. And every time this xenophobia pops up in the scriptural story, we have pointed stories that come about that remind us of the expansive nature of God's love. And these stories insist that every time that human beings put a line in the sand, or they put a border on a map, or they put a wall up between people, that God moves quickly to remind us, remember, you were strangers once. And so from Nehemiah's period, we get the story of Ruth, who was a foreigner, whose love and fidelity to an insider is a living parable. It's a living parable of how God moves. And God moves through this foreigner to bring about the redemption of Naomi. And so it's a scriptural reminder that our xenophobia, when we give into it, is an obstruction to how God meets us and how God saves us. At the very beginning of our New Testament, as soon as we start to turn the page of the story, Matthew lays out Jesus' genealogy. That's the chapter that you skip when you start reading in the New Testament. All those begat, 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 begat. But if you read that begat, there is Ruth. And there's Rahab. And there are Gentile women in the story that tell us that the story that Jesus comes through the commingling of insiders and outsiders. And then the gospel proceeds to tell the stories of Jesus, and it says how some of the first visitors to Jesus were mystics from the East who spent their time looking at the stars, foreigners. And then it tells us that Jesus himself was a political refugee, made a target because of who he was, that Joseph, the formative part of Jesus' childhood was spent under this kind of terror. And so it's no surprise then that Jesus grows up and has a heart for people who have been othered, Samaritans. And how he causes a stir everywhere he goes by insisting that the circle of God's mercy and grace is wider than the imaginations of God's people. Yeah. And this trajectory just keeps going in the early church. We start to read Acts and we see disciples like Philip who are snatched up by the Holy Spirit and sent to far out wilderness roads to preach the gospel to Ethiopians. And people like Peter who are compelled by the Holy Spirit to have more nearby encounters with Gentiles and to continue to expand the circle and to give definition to the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God is not defined by who is kept out, but that the kingdom of God is not complete until all are brought in. So none of this is surprising if you know your Bible. And it's not news. It's been right here in this book that we have been reading all these years. The stories of migrants and refugees is not tangential to the scriptural story. It is the scriptural story. This story is a story about how God uses what is foreign to us, Jesus, foreign from us, who is both resident here and yet not one of us, to bring about our salvation. To save us from ourselves. And to give us the kind of encounters that connect us with God because we are connected to the divine spark that is in every person. So I guess the question that kind of gathers us into this room tonight is, how have we so lost our way in the holy pursuit of this unity? How have we become so disconnected from the suffering of others that fear swallows up our compassion? How have we managed to so otherize black and brown people in particular, such that we can look upon their suffering and do not connect in a visceral way to the desire of every person to have food in their bellies and a roof over their heads and to be able to enjoy the simplest things in life that we all enjoy without living in fear of gang violence or political violence or sexual violence? How have we managed to cut ourselves off from the empathy that we might feel with those who are trying to raise children in this kind of terror. And so we're here because our collective sense of disconnection from the suffering of others has grown to a fever pitch in our culture at this particular cultural moment. Because fear and xenophobia are spreading like a virus around the world, and it has infected us in our own country, and we're here because we've seen how this xenophobia has led us down inhumane paths and how it shows up in ICE raids and deportations and the separation of families and the death of children that has grabbed our headlines. But we also have to remember that this is a story that is as old as the Bible itself. And it is not a new problem in America. Though we are certainly not living up to our obligations to our neighbors around the world in this moment, you can make the case that ever since, every time folks have arrived on these shores, they have forgotten that they were once foreigners and check their compassion at the shores. We have so forgotten our own humanity that we lack proper posture toward our neighbors. We lack relationships that are so driven by empathy and compassion that the lives of others who are suffering become our lives too. We need to reclaim the kind of empathy and compassion that Christ makes possible for us. And this is the gospel. And we think that the grief that we feel and the pain that it brings to acknowledge the suffering that we've named here tonight is the cost of being a follower of Jesus. Right? That is what comes with being a follower. The more I follow Jesus, the more deeply I'm connected to the suffering of others, and the more it troubles my heart and mind. We think that is the cost. But I want to suggest actually tonight that that is what salvation feels like. We think that being so connected to the suffering of others so deeply that we are moved to change our lives as a result of our proximity to that suffering, we think that is the cost. But that's not costly. The real cost is having children boarding boats in the dark and parents walking dangerous journeys through the desert and us not losing any sleep over it. That is a cost. What feels like comfort, even like privilege, is really spiritual death. So those of you who are at Covenant will know the story of Gilles Bakindu, because we've lifted it up. His picture is at the center of our table tonight. Gilles is a member of the Kara community, a Congolese refugee, and an active member at his church, Greenwood Forest Baptist Church, here in Kara. He was a little over a year ago, entrapped by ICE and deported to the Congo, despite health conditions and political risks that made him vulnerable. And so we journeyed with our friends and our brothers and sisters at Greenwood Forest as that process was ongoing, and hoping and praying that there would be a change, and then grieving with them when he was deported. And over the past months, his pastors at Greenwood Forest, they've started making this podcast. I'm a podcast junkie. This podcast called Inhospitable. You'll see flyers around our space for it. And this podcast tells Gilles' story through the lens of his pastors who journeyed with him, and through Gilles himself, who is reached by phone and tells his story. And so I've been listening to this podcast in the car, where I usually do my listening. And I have to selectively choose when I can listen to this podcast, because something happens to me. And I pound my steering wheel at stoplights. And I say things behind the closed doors and windows that pastors are not supposed to say. And I cry and I rage. But what I've noticed is that more than all of those things, I feel alive. And I've never met Gio. May never meet Gio, but I feel that he has made me human. Because by drawing near to his story and feeling the depth of his story, I feel that he has drawn me near to the heart of God. And so we're here to acknowledge our own grief at the suffering of our brothers and sisters in our communities and around the world, and confess that we have felt powerless to turn the tide, to know what to do. But we're here also to remember that this is how God saves us. This is how God brings us to life. This is how God gives us meaning and purpose. This is how God redeems us. We are remembering that if your heart hurts from a place of love and compassion, then you are near to the hurting heart of God that is full of love and compassion. And so we must resist the temptation to lean away, but instead lean in to the saving work that God has given us to do. In the name of the one who came himself a stranger among us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.